it loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
You know, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God wants us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I?
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump. Listen online, umpsports.com. You can download the app in your app store, iPhone or Android. Just search WUMP. Steven Ronazzisi is going to be performing at Stand Up Live Huntsville this weekend. He joins us now in studio. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Ronazzisi. That's RanazzisI. Hey, I'm Kublick, so it's listen.
No, I know. When you're like, here we go. We have to explain to people how to spell this guy's last name.
How did I do in the pronunciation, though? Because that's what matters to me. Because I get everything under the sun.
You did great. I could tell you were nervous, though. You slowed down a lot in the middle.
Ranazzisi.
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot of consonants. No one wants that early in the morning.
But if you phonetically look at it, it shouldn't be that difficult.
Sure.
Rana and Rana, I think, would probably be the
two Z's next to each other, and they're like, oh, I don't even want to do this.
Do two Z's equal that a different letter?
It's like a tap out. Just be done with it.
Now you,
it's pronounced Smith, actually.
This is your first time in Alabama.
It is the whole state. Yep.
When you think Alabama before you came, what comes to mind?
Sweet Home Alabama, okay. Forrest Gump.
Got it.
And Roll Tide. Those are the three things I think about.
I played at Auburn, so you're not welcome in the studio. We're going to go ahead and ask you to leave. So
is it a War
Eagle?
War Eagle, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
I actually asked my – I thought they were in Mississippi. I thought Auburn was in Mississippi.
That's the coach that calls prostitutes on school phones, Ole Miss.
So. Yeah, you know, I watched Last Chance U.
That's in Mississippi as
and
well.
And he was recruiting someone.
Yep.
And they were like, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, you're not going to be there either pretty soon. Whatever that guy was, Pace, what's his name?
Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, I knew it was like a weird. Yeah,
he was on his last chance.
Like that guy. So, I like that guy. Yeah. I'm like, well, you're not going to be any decision maker anytime soon, buddy.
So you are a big sports fan, though, originally from New York.
Yeah.
Giants or Jets?
Giants.
Wow. So chance to have a pretty good year.
Sure. Every year I go in cautiously optimistic, watching Eli through two fingers like, come on, you mouth-breathing dummy.
But they added another big-time weapon.
Sure. And Brandon Marshall looks good.
Running game looks pretty good. The defense is
fantastic. The running game will be the defense will be good, I think. Landon Collins is great. And defensive line looks good, but I think our offensive line is gotten better. It all depends on them, and then you know they will predicate then the running. We don't really have a RB1.
Right.
You wouldn't draft any of our guys in fantasy.
No.
Not as an RB1.
Now you star in the league on FX, which is a show about fantasy football. Are you into fantasy football yourself?
I do. I played for a long time. This year I'm not playing.
You say played. Why did
you? Because I'm not playing this year. I just want to be a Giants fan. I just want to watch the Giants on Sunday.
See our listeners and Arky sometimes, my producer even, they think I'm really weird because I just like to watch football.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people do.
I actually don't like to watch football with other people. That's really crazy. Like I don't like Super Bowl parties. I don't like a bunch of people at the house.
Do you have a team? Is it a team that I can only watch by myself?
My dad's family grew up in Pittsburgh, so I am a Steelers fan.
Okay.
And obviously, I played at Auburn, so I'm an Auburn fan. But it doesn't really matter what the game is. I like to focus in on the game. And with everything else that's happening, Twitter and multiple TVs, I have trouble even just paying attention to one game now. But I don't like talking about the commercials, and I don't like the whole conversation in between and what's happening and why'd that guy do that. I just like to watch the game. And people think I'm really weird because of that.
Well,
and I don't need Gronkowski to go for 150 yards and two touchdowns to enjoy a football game.
Like, some people
I can just
do, though,
enjoy
yeah.
a good football game.
Yeah. I mean, I want to watch. I feel like I haven't watched the Giants play since I've been doing fantasy, because you're watching the Giants and, you know, they're on defense. So you're like, well, I'm going to go flip over and see, you know, how my offensive players from my fantasy team are doing.
Yeah,
so
is Adrian Peterson scoring a touchdown?
Is AJ Green doing something? So you're back and forth, and you're not really watching the team that you grew up watching. I grew up watching the Giants. I wanted to watch the Giants play. I want to watch them win.
Now, that's been a big reason that the NFL has gotten so popular, but could you foresee maybe that being a reason that
a
the
bubble?
Popularity of the NFL can't sustain?
No, I think traumatic head trauma will be the reason that the NFL can't sustain themselves.
Yeah.
But I think, fantasy's probably got a bubble. You know, I mean, I think you've already seen it. Well, I don't know. It depends on, I really don't know the numbers of like what's going on financially as far as like the FanDuel and DraftKings and stuff like that, if they've gone down. But I could see them not going down. I could see them every year getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They were going to merge at one point, but then there's some sort of the government stopped it. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, does it fuel – I know ESPN just aired a 24-hour marathon on
28.
Fantasy. 28-hour marathon on fantasy.
It's pretty annoying for a guy like me that's not into it. But
yeah, so you're like, I just want to like
– did Aaron Judge hit a home run? That's really all I care about. Like, I don't,
he did last night, by the way. It was a bomb.
Yeah. Saw it. My wife was like, is that the guy that people think our kid's named after? And I was like, yeah.
I was at the Yankee game 2 weeks ago with my son, and Judge hit a foul ball that I thought was coming right at us. We were about 15 rows back. It wasn't. It was coming right at the trajectory, but it hit this dude so hard, I thought his head was going to explode. And he got a gigantic gash over his head, blood coming down. It was terrible. He hits the ball so hard.
So will he be able to hear it if we play this clip? All right, play
what?
This clip. Here we go. This is from last night.
Okay.
And you're a Yankee fan, so I think you'll be able to sympathize with.
It was Seattle over Baltimore, same score.
Oh. There's pitches in the deep left field. It is high.
It is far.
It is gone. Oh, did he hit a rocket? It's a Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge. The Yankees take a 2-1 lead.
Judgian blast.
What is that?
Who knows? Michael K. I mean, what's his name? Does
John Sterling.
Sterling does his own thing. You know, he does a great job with like coming up with little like anecdotal nicknames for them and stuff like
it's
that.
It's usually here comes the Judge and he's got all rise, but
yep.
I think Judgian, I don't know if he actually threw that in there or not, if he's going to try to make that work, but that's not going to work.
Surely,
that's not going to work, right?
He does hit Judgian sized home runs. I mean, there's really only one person that hits home runs like him. They're Judgian.
I mean, that's fair.
Giancarlian. That's the only other one I can think of, yeah.
Giancarlian Blast.
Him and Susan Waldman together.
Steven Ranazzisi is in studio with us. He'll be at Stand Up Live all weekend long. You can go at Stand Up Live HSV via Twitter, and obviously located right there on the parkway next to Governor's Drive. We've played some of your clips all week, too.
Oh, thanks.
And I have two kids, mm-hmm. Both under the age of three. You talk about your kids a lot in your routine. How much of your material do you get just kind of accidentally being a dad? You're not an accidental father. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Being a dad and just accidentally pick up by like your day-to-day life.
So you're sitting there like, I'm not writing a bit today. I'm just going to watch some television.
Right.
And then your 8-year-old screams from his room that someone has pissed in his underwear drawer. and now you have to find out who's done this and like go around your house. And he wants to question everyone in the house with you. And I'm like, question who? Like, there's only four of us. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. He's like, do you think mom did it? I was like, I don't want to speak for mom. Okay? That's not my role, but I'm going to assume that.
Bottom shelf or top shelf?
The bottom shelf, his t-shirt drawer.
Okay, so more possible then.
And then, you know, his brother did it. So then they got to question the brother. Like, these are the things that, like, I did not expect this to happen today, but I'm glad kind of that it did a little bit because I got a new 5 minutes.
So does he just want to force a confession? Is that kind of what his goal is?
We all know who it was. He seemed to be the only person to not know who it was, but the most adamant about finding out who it was. Do you understand? It's
absolutely.
Like watching Making a Murderer with someone who doesn't really know who did it. You're like, what? this guy did it, obviously. This guy did it. We all saw it.
Visiting with Steven Ranazzisi. He'll be at Stand Up Live Huntsville all weekend long. Follow him on Twitter, at Steve Ranazzisi. How much working in television can help you or maybe hurt you when it comes to doing stand-up comedy?
Oh, it helps because, you know, more people know who you are and they're willing to take a chance to come out and see you. But it doesn't really hurt. I mean, the only way it hurts is if you're not performing as much as you should. To me, there's nothing better than making strangers laugh. It's something I thought about in my car.
I didn't know if maybe television, because it's when you film, it's very segmented and obviously scripted. So yeah, it's kind of in, out,
it's
in,
not
out
as much fun.
Right.
Look, when you're, you know, a live event talking to strangers, you have that hour and then that's it. Everyone goes off and goes home or does whatever they have to do. So you don't really, it never lives on beyond that, which is what I enjoy, because it can just be that contained thing and that's it. And, you know, television and film, you know, you film something, it's on, and then that lives on forever just in that form. So to me, I'm like, I enjoy being sort of spontaneous and in the moment.
Now, you said you've never been to Alabama, but will you change your routine geographically by region?
I hope not. I mean, you guys speak English down here, right?
Sort of.
You guys have kids and parents and jobs and stuff?
Correct.
I think we'll be good.
The jobs part, maybe not so much.
Okay.
Yes, kids and parents.
We all live in America?
Siblings.
Same president? We all have the same guy? Okay, yeah. Good. We're good then. I think we're all right.
Yeah, love the same guy. I don't know about that.
Okay.
But it depends. We have a guy down the hall who does a news talk radio show. And he comes in on Fridays and we do a little segment. We call it Politisports because we don't really talk about politics. And I tell him every time he comes in here, you have the easiest job in America. All you have to do is open up Twitter every morning, and three quarters of the country is mad about something that this guy did. And you can just talk about it.
Sure.
Has he made your life much easier as far as just finding some material?
That's such a tough thing. He's made our lives easier in the sense that there's more to talk about, there's more to make fun of. But really, does anyone really need that in their lives? Like, is anyone yearning to, like, you know what? Things have just been so calm and fine for a while. I could really use a little bit of chaos. And so, you know, there's a certain faction of people that want chaos in their lives.
And now they've got it.
Now they have more than they can possibly handle. More. And it's never going to change. It's not. For anyone who thinks that, like, after 6 months, things are going to calm down, it's never going to change. So this is the ride that we are on for the next 3.5 years, at least.
As Alabama's basketball coach says, buckle up. Because, it's not going to change.
It's not going to change. So whether or not it's good for comedy or not good for comedy, I'm not really one to comment. But I also live in this country. So, you know, we have 3.5 more years of this, at least.
Steve Ranazzisi will be at Stand Up Live Huntsville this weekend. Really appreciate the time stopping in today.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to checking you out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. We'll get to a break back with more Cube Show next. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Lance Taylor of the Jocks Roundtable joins us. Lines with Lance. LT, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning, Cole. 14 days away from actual Thursday night football, so all's good.
It is not far now. Cole, question of the day today presented by Dreamland Barbecue. Who leads Alabama in sacks in 2017? Now, we give you some options. Rashawn Evans, Deshaun Hand, Christian Miller, Terrell Lewis. If I asked LT, who's going to lead this Crimson Tide football team in sacks, who would you say?
Can I go off the board and say Isaiah Boggs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a shot. Shot in the dark. I mean, you lose, you know, so much sack production up front with guys that are on the NFL, and you get that attrition every year. I mean, this is that year that not just one guy jumps out. You know, for a couple of years, the last couple of years, people have said guys like Tim Williams, but I don't think there's one definite guy you would put your finger on. I mean, who would you lead?
For me, it would be Rashawn Evans. I mean, he is the returning leader, had 4 a year ago. That's more than any other returning player on that defense. I think he's their best pass rusher, and I think that's going to I don't think that the rest of that front four, front seven, are going to be able to win one-on-ones quite like he can. And I think their realization will hit this team at some point in the season, and they're going to let him line up and do it a little bit more often. Now, I think Terrell Lewis has probably the ability to be. I don't know if he's necessarily ready to be from a fundamental standpoint, but he's a guy that, I mean, you look at his frame, you look what he's capable of, you know, I could see him sort of blossoming into that role. The rest of the guys, I think, are going to sort of be buried down inside a little bit too much to be able to do it. So I think it probably have to be an edge guy. So
there's going to be plenty of sacks. I mean, we saw the difference in philosophies from Kirby Smart to Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, Pruitt is a guy that attacks and is aggressive, and sacks are part of that repertoire. So I don't know if there's a guy that's got double digits, but there should be plenty of them.
What do you think about a potential drop-off as far as the D-line, linebackers, the front seven is concerned for this Alabama team in 2017? Do you think they'll be the same? Do you think they'll be better than they were in 16?
I think anytime we doubt, Alabama finds a way just to be consistently dominant. So I don't know if the numbers will be necessarily as good. I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine when you look at some of the production you lost off of that defense. But you've got – you know, five-star guys throughout. So they find a way to reload, restock, and the numbers are pretty consistent year in, year out. So I don't know where the drop-off will be, Cole. I mean, production might go down a little bit, but then you look at the other side of the ball, and offensively, I mean, this is as much talent. I mean, you know more about the offensive line, and maybe that unit's not as dominant as it has been in the past. But if Hurts continues to progress as a true sophomore, this is probably the deepest they've ever been at running back. Receivers, you know, if some of these freshmen come on, this could be the best group of receivers they've ever had. So, you know, I mean, if the defense takes a little bit of a step back, the offense could go the other way. I mean, this offense could realistically score 40 points a game.
Lance Taylor of the Jocks Roundtable with us. What about opposing offenses? And that obviously will factor in. You look at Vanderbilt, returning quarterback, all-time leading rusher, Shea Patterson, and that group of receivers at Ole Miss. Austin Allen at Arkansas, who had a great year but was just beat to a pulp a year ago. LSU with Geis returning, the SEC's leading rusher a season ago, all-purpose yards leader in Nick Fitzgerald at Mississippi State, Stidham and company at Auburn. I mean, could they be seeing a much-improved group top to bottom of offenses, and that maybe skew the numbers a little bit?
Well, I think what we're looking at is just an onslaught of really good – underclass quarterbacks in the SEC. So, yeah, obviously Alabama's had trouble with elite quarterbacks in the past. And when you look at it this year, I mean, you've got to have, obviously, those surrounding parts. And that's why a guy like DeAndre Francois, week one with Florida State, and the talent that they've got around him could become a problem for Alabama. And I, you know, the bookend games, the very last game, regular season, the Iron Bowl, if Jarrett Stidham is the real deal, and most people believe he will be, and I've kind of bought into that myself, with the talent around him, you know, that could be a problem. You look at other situations. I mean, Austin Allen, you know, ultimately could maybe be the best quarterback in the SEC this year, but I just wonder if he's got the weapons. You know, no receivers coming back. Raleigh Williams, you know, ended the career. So you wonder what they've got at running back, and at times they had difficulty running the football last year. Shea Patterson's going to be really, really good, but how much do they have to play for? Nick Fitzgerald, again, I mean, a guy that – seems like the ceiling is just so high for that kid, but you wonder what he's got around him. So, you know, to me, the big obstacles for Alabama this year are first game and last game.
Lance Taylor of the Jocks Roundtable with us. We were talking college football playoff earlier this week. As you know, on Wednesdays, we have a segment entitled If the College Football Playoff Began Today. And we were sort of going back and forth about what the committee's requirements are, what their criteria is, and that it seems to be ever-changing, that it's probably not going to be the same every year. Arkie put it best. He said, I think the committee's criteria for the top four teams is who are the teams that they want to be in the college football playoff that year, and whatever it takes to get them in, that's what it's going to be that year. We're kind of struggling after one, maybe two, as far as who's going to get in. I really believe that it could be sort of a log jam after one or two. How many teams do you have, I guess, a lot of confidence in to make the college football playoff today?
Only two. You know, most people, you go up and you take that consensus vote, and people will go Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, USC. They lock it in. It's difficult because we were asked to give our four playoff teams the other day, and, you know, I sat there for a long time going back and forth. The only teams I really feel confident in right now would be Alabama and Ohio State. And, you know, Alabama, just because of what we saw in the SEC, it was just such a mediocre conference last year, and Alabama had separated themselves so much. So that's why I kind of lean Alabama will get back there. Again, you know, the X factor is Jarrett Stidham. If he's that good, we'll see what happens. On the other side, Ohio State, the thing that bothers me there is how good the Big Ten was last year. You know, I think Michigan will take a step back, but that's the team they beat last year. The team that did beat them was Penn State. Penn State's got to go to Columbus to take them on. I think Penn State's going to be every bit as good as they were last year, but I just don't see them beating Ohio State and Columbus. And then, you know, I think Ohio State will get to take on a Wisconsin team that probably will be 11-1 or 12-0 in the Big Ten title game, but I think, you know, the reason I think Wisconsin's a good team, Cole, I don't think they're an elite team. I think the schedule has a lot to do with that, and I think ultimately Ohio State will beat them. I'd love to see USC in this 14 playoff. Their schedule really benefits them because maybe their two difficult games are in September back-to-back, but they get them at home against Texas and Stanford. You know, they don't play Washington in the regular season, so I could see USC, worst case, being 11-1, going into the Pac-12 title game to take on a Washington or maybe even a rematch with Stanford. So by default, I think USC might get there, but they've got a lot of attrition this year. And I don't feel good about Florida State. I think the ACC is just too much in the Atlantic. And I'm kind of with you. I mean, I like Louisville. Their offensive line has got to be better. If Clemson, if they've got a quarterback this year, you know, they've got so much talent around it. And then, like I said, I'm with you on NC State. I think they're a team that could win 10 games this year. So I think Florida State's schedule is just too brutal.
I'm with you, Lance. I like Alabama. I like Ohio State. Each week that we've done it, I have had those two as seeds 1 and 2, and then I've flipped it around a little bit. I agree with you on Washington. I like them sometimes, and then I like Oklahoma, and then I think, well, if I like Ohio State to get in, that means they probably beat Oklahoma, and how much room is Oklahoma going to have, considering they're not going to have a lot of conference games that can really bolster their schedule? And I look at the ACC, and I just think that division is going to be brutal. I do think a 1-2, at least one, definitely a 2-loss team still has a chance to get in from that division, just because the ACC is going to be loaded over there, and I think that they'll be forgiven based on how tough that division is. And with NC State opening up with an SEC team doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I agree. The perception of the ACC is much different than it once was, and I think going into the season, a lot of people believe it maybe is the best conference. So, sooner or later, we're going to get one of two things. Either we're going to get a 2-loss team in that 14 playoff, or we're going to get two teams from one conference. You know, last year, USC winning 9 consecutive games to end the season, although they didn't play in the Pac-12 championship game, that was a team a lot of people believed should have been in. And, you know, just watching the product on the field, I thought they were the third-best team at the end of the year. Penn State was probably that fourth-best team, and neither one of those teams got in. But sooner or later, this committee will go against the grain. They will take a 2-loss, or they will take they did it. They had a first-timer last year, a team that didn't win their conference championship. So that was a first-time last year. I think this year could be the year of the 2-loss team or a team, two teams from one conference.
We asked that question yesterday. That was our dreamland Cole question of the day yesterday. Do you think two teams from one conference will ever get in? And I think it was like 78% said yes. And I just, from a business perspective, don't believe that they ever let it happen. I mean, it's going to have to be egregious, in my opinion. You're going to have an undefeated team and then a 1-loss team whose only loss is to that undefeated team. And every other conference is just going to have to be a mess if that really takes place.
Well, I mean, let's just give you the example. Let's say that Stidham is the real deal. And let's say that Auburn beats Clemson on the road. And we've got an undefeated Iron Bowl. And, you know, take whoever that loser is, sitting at 11-1 and not going to Atlanta to play in the SEC championship game, I mean, there's a great shot that you would have both Alabama and Auburn in that 14 playoff.
Do you think Alabama gets in 13 if it's a 14 playoff?
Yes, I do. I do. I've gone back and looked at that a couple of times. I think Alabama would definitely be in.
How much do you think Zeke Elliott being out early impacts the Cowboys' season?
Well, you know, watching what was one of the worst preseason games I've ever seen Saturday night, and watching every minute of it, I guess, because I've got no life. I'm a huge Rams fan. Dallas offensive line is still going to be dominant, but I don't know if Darren McFadden, who is their projected starter right now, he's just got a lot of tread on that tire. So I think they are going to be affected. Those first three games are brutal. I think even with Zeke Elliott, they were probably 2-1. I believe Dallas at 13-3 was a little overrated last year. I think Dak will be good, not as good as he was last year. There's going to be more pressure on him, obviously, with Zeke being gone for six games. The defense, I thought, overachieved last year. So, Dallas to me is a 10-6 team. I said 11-5 before the suspension. I think it will impact them. I still think they're a playoff team. But they're going to lose a couple of games. They shouldn't because of the suspension of Zeke Elliott. But I see them as a 10-6 team this year.
The white face masks are awful.
I agree. I agree.
I'm cool with the rest of it.
Finally get the uniform right with the helmet and the pants, just with the white with the blue stripe, but then you still got the jacked-up jersey and the white face mask.
Yeah, it's not going to work. All right, LT, good stuff, man. Always appreciate the time.
Of course, man. Have a good weekend, Cole.
Lance Taylor of the Jocks Roundtable joining us there.
I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear Lance say the Cowboys were overrated at 13-3 last year. I'm going to pretend like that didn't just happen on this station. That is blasphemous. Not blasphemous, by the way. Titans' second preseason game on the Ump is Saturday with coverage starting at 1 o'clock against the Panthers.
Before we go to break.
What preseason game do you kind of get interested in? About game three? Did you really get interested in?
No. I don't really get interested in any of them. It's preseason.
Well, about three is when you actually get to see some of your guys.
No, so you don't. I think at three, that's when most of them are not going
to
play at all.
Oh, see, that's four. See, it's gotten to be where, three, they'll start to get most of their starters in. Four, they're just like, we don't need this anymore. But it may be different this year since you don't have to have, certain sets of cuts. You can just cut them all basically one day.
I want to tell you about our friend at Pints and Pixels, downtown Huntsville, 115 Clinton Avenue East. It's inside UG White, just upstairs. Take the elevator to the third floor. It used to be Mason, so if you're kind of wondering where it is, Pints and Pixels is a bar featuring craft beer and a full bar and 50 vintage arcade and pinball machines.
50?
50. More than 50, actually. But these are the arcade games you grew up with. Off-road, Galaga. What's the one that you like? I like Spy Hunter. I like Tron.
Oh, Cruisin' USA?
Cruisin' USA is in there. I told Archie that one's there. We got to go play that sometime.
Cruisin' World sucks. Cruisin' USA is awesome.
Cruisin' USA is there. They got the Star Trek pinball machines as well. Anaheim Chili is serving their menu there, and it's not just chili. It's beautiful wings. It's nachos. It's hot dogs, hamburgers. They've got salads if you're trying to go a little bit lighter. Craft beer, vintage arcade games, pinball machines, and Anaheim chili. What more do you need? It's Pints and Pixels, located downtown Huntsville. Go to pintsandpixels.pub. Find them on your Facebook page or Twitter. Pints and Pixels. Great place. Nostalgic's going to take you back. A lot of fun. And it's family friendly, so you can definitely take the kid. Don't feel like you can't.
Yeah, I'm excited to go. We got to go for the season.
We're going to clean up the Twitter when we come back right after this. Show Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Pick that song just for Tom.
Tom Abraham joining us now on the phones. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
I'm great, Cole. I mean, there's nothing like being at practice. You know how it is when you get to get out on the field, and we love what we do. But man, when you're out here, the juices get flowing, and they're running fade routes right now. I'm standing at the field where the Panthers offense is doing 7-on-7s with the defense of the Titans, and Cam just threw about a 35-yard fade route to the back corner of the end zone. I saw it coming, and you would have been proud of me. I had nose over toes. I was at good hip flexion and in full retreat. I had the back pedal going, and I got out of the way. Almost got ran over, but I got out of the way. Still nimble at 56 years old.
So Cam is at Titans practice.
Cam who?
Well, there's this guy, number one, for Carolina. I thought it was a defensive end, but it's Cam Newton, of course.
He's
throwing the ball really well. I don't know if he's playing. Is Cam playing Saturday? You know if Cam's playing Saturday? Is Cam? He's not playing for sure?
No,
we do not know. Okay, it's still up in the air whether he's going to play Saturday. But he looks good out here. I mean, he's just throwing a ball, and it doesn't seem to be impeded at all.
Tom is covering a Titans-Panthers joint practice happening in They'll play Saturday at 1 o'clock with cover starting here on the Ump. So let's get to a little bit of Titans talk. Have you been able to look at any of the guys in two-tone blue yet?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've like I say, I'm at the defensive field, but the way they've got it set up is they've got the skill guys, you know, on the two outside fields. So I'm at the defensive field right now, and then in the middle field is they got the offensive line and D line. In fact, I'm going to head down there. Hey, Anthony, I'm going down there. They've got one of our favorite drills, of course, is the pass rush drill. You know, so they're doing half line pass rush, defensive line against half line, offensive line on the middle field. And that's always a really fun drill to watch.
Tom Abraham joining us at Titans practice. Are there any Titans youngsters that you've been able to see so far that have impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, the Dory Jackson, I'm watching him now. They're trying to move him up as quick as possible. Cole, he is not a big man. He is a little guy. I mean, not the prototypical DB that you look at in the NFL these days, but that's the number one concern for this team is probably going to be defensive back, and they're hoping that he can start, that he'll be ready to go right off the bat, and you know, so, and he looks real good. I mean, he's very, very athletic. Obviously, he's just not very big at all.
The Yump, obviously your new home for the Titans this fall. Can hear their next preseason game Saturday. Right here on WUMP. Tom Abraham joining us on the phones live from Titans practice now. We haven't really discussed this with you, but what are your expectations for this team in 2017?
You know, they look so talented. You know, I was watching the offensive guys warming up earlier, DeMarco Murray and another guy. You know, obviously, Derrick Henry just so stands head and shoulders above everybody else. If Corey Davis is healthy, and if Eric Decker can do what he had done in the past, they're going to be very explosive offensively. The thing is that, you know how it is. Last year, they snuck up on everybody. This year, everybody's got a mark to be a contender, if not the leader in the AFC South. So they're not sneaking up on anybody. To me, the floor, if everything falls out, they're 7-19. You know, 8-8, 9-7 where they were last year. But if they get a break here or there, you know, they're a 10-win team, and that'll win that division. So it's just, I always worry about a team that second year after they emerge, you know, and you know, what the mindset of the guys are.
Yeah, I was really happy with the draft, especially for the Titans. When you get, you know, Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson, they're really going to help on both sides of the ball, and obviously the offseason with Eric Decker and getting another year for Derrick Henry. I was curious for you. I think the Titans should be the favorite to win this division. Do you think so?
I want to see a little bit more of Houston. I want to see Deshaun. I thought I was very impressed with Deshaun Watson. I know it's the first preseason game and so on, but I really like their running back, Deontay Foreman, as well. And that defense is still that defense. J.J. Watt is healthy again. And, you know, so I think I think right now I would give the slight edge to Houston depending on if Deshaun Watson continues to emerge. If Tom Savage is the quarterback opening day there, I think the Titans got an excellent chance. But it's a brutal start to the season, too. I mean, to get the Raiders, who a lot of people think is a Super Bowl team, mm-hmm. you know, right off the bat opening day at home. And it's a little tough stretch. They can get to the bye week at 3-3, 2-4, or 4-2, or 3-3. They're going to be in great shape going down the stretch. It's just I think we'll know early on how good this Titans team is going to be.
What worries you about the Titans?
I worry about the defensive backfield. I mean, all the way around the defensive backfield. Now, they got obviously Dick LeBeau is one of the best coordinators in the history of the NFL, a Hall of Famer as a player. But boy, they better get some pressure because I don't think that this backfield is going to be very, very young, and they're not going to be able to hold up for 3-4 seconds down the field. So the key will be Brian Arakpo in pressure, Derek Morgan in pressure, Jarrell Casey caving in the inside of that deal. But I worry a little bit about the back seven and mostly the back four, the defensive backs. Offensively, I think they're going to be fine. It's an excellent, it's a top five offensive line. The running game is outstanding. Somebody will emerge. You know, I will say this. Marcus Mariota is not 100%. You watch him out here. He looked decent on TV in the 8 snaps that he took and stuff. But you watch him out here. He's got a little hitch in his giddy up. And I don't think he's 100%. I'll be honest with you.
Wow.
Yeah, I was listening to the Titans pregame last week, and they did a segment with Jarrell Casey, and he was asking the pregame, "How do you keep getting better?" He said, "By keep on improving." I feel like that's a very safe answer.
getting better by improving. Well, I was listening to our sister station on my way up here this morning on the Zone, and Pete Prisco was on, and they asked Pete Prisco, they said, why did you not have Marcus Mariota in your top 100 players for the NFL this season? And Prisco's answer was, because I don't think he's one of the top 100 players in the NFL right now.
Yeah, so that's fair. That's
solid. You know, that's good analysis right there.
How long you had practice for? When's practice over?
11 o'clock. They'll go to 11 o'clock. You know, they only allowed one a day now. Gerard Casey is not practicing today. He's healthy. I used to, you know, when I was coaching, I would spend a lot of time in NFL camps. They would do two a days. They would have the meetings all day long. It would felt like three a days they'd run. And guys like Bruce Smith and some of the other veteran linemen would, you know, they would have one or the other practice off. Now they go one a day. They can only go 3 days in a row with pads. And they rest guys. I mean, Cole. I mean, are you kidding me? Can you imagine? You can only go 3 days in a row in pads, no two a days, and you get a rest day out of the 3 days, and then you get a day off.
Yeah, the CBA has done them right when it comes to practice time. There's no doubt about it. So yeah.
You wonder why guys get hurt running on the field, coming out of the tunnel, they get hurt. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of football being practiced. Football.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate the time. I want to mention that because of Braves baseball today, no Tom Abraham show from 2 to 6, but he'll be back tomorrow with the Football Friday. Is that right, Tom?
I will be back tomorrow, big Football Friday show. And let me just say this. Christian McCaffrey, ripped. I mean, right. Look, I'm comfortable with my maleness.
Sure.
I can say this. Dude maleness. Is right out of the cover of GQ magazine. Mm. Absolutely wow. Ripped. Good-looking athlete. Mm.
Getting me a little hot and bothered. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Yeesh.
Appreciate you guys.
Rip running back for Carolina. Mm-hmm.
Still really small.
Yeah, he's a slider guy, but maybe. Well, he's not going to get fatter. He's already ripped. Keep that up.
All right, great stuff. Roundtable's next. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on Sports.